Welcome to Manzanita Voices, the program that showcases writers, lets them share their writing secrets, and sometimes their frustrations and challenges. And we try to give you the scoop on new books that are available. My name is Linda Field, and I'm really happy to have you with us today. My guest for today is Sunny Lockwood, and she's here to talk about her new book that's a perfect subject for Valentine's Day, which is right around the corner. Her book is called Shades of Love, and we'll hear about that in a little bit. But first, I want to talk a little bit about the Calaveras County Arts Council, because they do so much to promote all sorts of artistic endeavors in Calaveras County. They maintain a charming gallery on Main Street in San Andreas that is frequently updated with new exhibits, and it offers beautiful jewelry, note cards, and books for sale. In fact, many of the books that you hear about in this show can be purchased there. Now, I have a very soft spot in my heart for the Arts Council, of course, because they support Manzanita Writers Press and Writers Unlimited and this radio program. So just think about it. We wouldn't be here if it were not for the Arts Council. They also sponsor Music in the Parks, the summer series of free concerts in various locations around Calaveras County. And right now, the Ovations concert series is going on. And that's just a fabulous, they get such wonderful talent coming in to play for us and sing. And I just went recently to hear Boys Night Out, and they were a fabulous a cappella group of guys who just do wonderful stuff. And there are many other contributions that the Arts Council makes in Calaveras County. But if you don't live in Calaveras, if you live in Amador, Tuolumne, Sacramento, or any other county here in California, I'll bet that your Arts Council has similar programs. I know Sacramento has the Music in the Park series. I used to go when I lived there. So they all of these Arts Councils do so much to make our lives better. Be sure you try to give them your support. I know times are tough, but if you could squeeze out maybe $35 for a membership for your Arts Council, you'd be repaid many times over with all of the things that they do for us. Now, you can go to the Calaveras County Arts Council website to get more information on becoming a member and on the Ovations concert series and all the other things that they're doing by going to www.ca.calaverasarts.org. You know, I think I read that wrong. It's www.calaverasarts.org. I had a typo there. They also, the phone number, if you want to call them, is 209-754-1774. Now, I have another artistic note to pass along to you. You've been hearing about our Manzanita Writers Press anthology, Wine, Cheese, and Chocolate. We ran a contest last year for writing submissions, poetry and prose, and also art and photography. People were supposed to send in things that had the theme of wine, cheese, or chocolate. And we have prizes to give away. First prize in each category is $200, and then it goes down for second and third prizes, along with being published in the book. And other submissions that did not win prizes will also be included in the anthology. But as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, we did not quite get enough submissions for art and photography. So if that is your hobby, if you like to paint or draw or work in pastels or even charcoal, whatever, or if you're a photographer, get busy. Get something to us. Take a creative picture that has a glass of wine in it or some chocolate or something with cheese. And send it off to us, because if you get it to us by the end of, by March 1st, if you get it to us by March 1st, you could be a prize winner. And even if you're not a prize winner, you might see your work appear in the book. So, to find out about that, go to my website and link to the Manzanita Writers Press website from mine. My website is manzamedia.com. That's manzamedia.com. And if you would like to submit something for me to read on the morning workout, which I'm going to be doing in just a moment, you can email something to me, either poetry or prose, 2 minutes long or so, to linda@manzamedia.com. And today I have a poem written by Mary McGrath. She sent this in, and it's quite nice. It's about some older ladies who like to share their plants back and forth, and they're very thrifty, and they don't like to go to plant stores to buy their plants. So, here it is. It's called The Invitation to Flower by Mary McGrath. My imagined grandmother, a Catholic who read the Christian Science Monitor and lifted bulbs from Omaha loam, we were always proud of our dirt, had friends, little old ladies on the block, who never wasted a penny. They knew about nurseries, but buying flowers, trees, or bushes was a sinful squandering. They could share their corms, bulbs, rhizomes, and seeds. The altar society picked plenty for the church's starched, hand-worked altar clothes. But their floral arrangements were always different combinations of the same flowers in the same colors. These thrifty crones dropped every extra coin into the poor box. They could only laugh in speechless shock when my grandmother went to a nursery to buy a tree, and it turned out to be a plum tree, a fruitless plum tree that flowered in the spring but got no fruit. They might have understood the expense of a fruit tree, but to pay just for blossoms? Just because it pleased her so much and made a pink party of the backyard in spring? No fruit, just beauty, she told them. A daring gesture after years of sensible thrift. And the truest sharing she did was to assemble the altar society under the tree and invite them to look. Mary McGrath, The Invitation to Flower. Well, thanks, Mary, for your poem. Please send some more. I really enjoyed that one. And all of you out there, make sure you send something to me. You might get to hear it on Manzanita Voices. Now I get to introduce my very special guest today, Sunny Lockwood. Hi, Sunny.
Hi, thank you. That was a beautiful poem.
Wasn't it nice?
Oh, it was just fabulous.
Yeah. I can just see these little old ladies running around with their plants and trading back and forth and everything. So much fun. And then admiring that beautiful flowering plum mm-hmm. in the backyard. Mm. Now, Sunny, I wanted to have you on at this time because you've written a book called Shades of Love, and we have Valentine's Day coming up. I think it's a perfect combination.
Yes, it is. And this is a collection of short stories, six short stories, each with love at its core. And the book is really named Shades of Love, Stories from the Heart. And each story reveals a different shade of love. One story is on romance. One is about a long marriage that's not really a good marriage and how that comes out at the end. There's a searching of love between a father and a daughter, a divorced father and a daughter. There's a mother-daughter story. And there's a long story about a family and all this big, boisterous family and love in the family. So it really is an exploration of different elements of love.
Yeah, there are many different kinds of love. Can you give... Would you like to tell us about one of your stories that's in there?
Well, there's like I said, there's six short stories.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one is about a woman who is lonely and can't figure out why she can't find a boyfriend. And it's about her search. And she finally decides to go on the internet, try some internet dating. And that leads to some very interesting involvements. It's light, and I think it's quite rewarding. People have written to me and said it was pretty good.
And pretty timely, too,
yeah.
Because a lot of people
right.
I know are doing that.
Yeah,
lots of my
right.
friends.
What interests me is that this is my first collection of fiction. I've been a non-fiction writer for most of my life,
mm-hmm.
and this is my first collection of fiction, and it's getting great reviews online. It is an e-book, which means you can only read it on your computer or your Kindle or your Nook or your phone. It's an electronic book, and that's one reason it costs very, very little.
How much does it cost?
It's $1.99.
Oh, my gosh. What a bargain for Valentine's Day.
But for Valentine's Day, I'm lowering the price to 99 cents.
Oh.
Hoping that people will buy it not only for their, you know, their girlfriend or their wife or their daughter, but also some other friends. I mean, it's a very nice, sweet read. 99 cents. There's not much you can get in today's world for 99 cents.
That's right, and it is a sweet read. I've read most of it, and I highly recommend it. When we come back, we're going to talk with Sunny about how you can get this even if you don't have a Kindle. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Manzanita Voices. This is Linda Field, and I'm talking today with Sunny Lockwood about her book called Shades of Love. That's available as an e-book on Amazon. So, Sunny, how can people get to buy your book and read it if they don't have a Kindle or a Nook?
Well, as you may know, you can go to Amazon, go to the Kindle store, and ask for a download of Kindle for my PC. It's absolutely free, takes a few minutes to download, and then you can read ebooks on your computer just like somebody would read them on their Kindle. That's what I did. And then you can go to the Kindle book section of mm-hmm. Amazon.com, and you can look for my book or any other book, and some of them are free, and some of them are 99 cents, and some of them are $1.99 or $2.99. They're very low-priced books, and they'll download it. When you order it,
mm-hmm.
they will say, where do you want this delivered? And there will be a little box there, a little place where you can click on Kindle for my PC, and it'll come right down within a minute or two, and it'll be there on your computer, and you can just read the book by scrolling down.
And your book is perfect for that because it is a series of short stories about love, different types of love, and each one is about a 10-minute read or so,
mm-hmm.
and it's just perfect.
Yeah, yeah. And my book is Shades of Love: Stories from the Heart.
Yay.
Yeah, you got to get the Stories from the Heart in there because there's several books, I guess, that are called Shades of Love.
Oh.
So you got to put Shades of Love, comma, Stories from the Heart, and my book will come up. And if you're not sure whether you want to read it or not, you can click and read a few pages for free. You can just read some and see if you like my style.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll like the book. It's
I think people
fun.
Will like the book. I do. And you, a couple of years ago, before you had anything put on Amazon, you were putting a lot of your work up on Scribd. And Scribd.
Scribd.com. It's Scribd.com. It's the largest document sharing site on the web, on the internet. And lots of writers post their work there. And in fact, my first love story in Shades of Love was first posted on Scribd. And it got something like 17,000 reads and a whole bunch of wonderful comments. So I knew I was going in the right direction with my fiction.
Yes, yeah. And you had a wonderful experience, too, with a nonfiction piece that you put up there. You want to tell us about that?
Well, actually, that's for sale also on,
yes,
on Amazon.
By coincidence.
This is nonfiction, and I did nonfiction most of my life. That's mm-hmm. what I wrote. And this piece is called Living the Velvet Revolution. Anyone who cares about 20th century history remembers the Velvet Revolution in Czechoslovakia, when the people of Czechoslovakia overthrew their communist government back in December of 1989. Mm-hmm. And I was fascinated when I read in the paper that they made Václav Havel, a playwright, poet, novelist, writer, they made him president. And I couldn't believe it, and I thought, I've got to go to a country that made a writer president. I've just got to go there. I want to see, you know, what these people are like, and how did they make a writer president, someone who knows about language and beauty. And so I went there about 6 months after the revolution, and I spent a lot of time interviewing people who were part of the revolution, students, parents, different people. I wrote a lot of articles for magazines and newspapers, and but I wrote a very personal essay. It was about 27 pages, called Living the Velvet Revolution, and I poured my heart into it. And, of course, 27 pages is too large for a magazine and too small for a book publisher, so that essay just sat in my files for all these years. Then I posted it on Scribd, and I got lots and lots of people reading it there. And then just this summer, in June, I had Lou, a friend of ours from the writers group,
mm-hmm.
format it for ebook, and I posted it on Amazon.com as an ebook, although it's an e-essay, and people started reading it. And since the death of Václav Havel, the man who was president, since his death, my essay has just taken off. It was number one at Amazon for history of former Soviet republics. It was number one for revolutionary history. It was number three for the history, Russian history. And people are just buying it. I'm selling it all the time. And that's a non-fiction essay. And I'm thrilled that instead of sitting in my files, people are reading about this amazing event. So, you know, and that too, if you have a Kindle or a phone, or if you have Kindle for my PC, you can read that. You can read it right at your house or mm-hmm. at your computer. Oh, and it's only 99 cents.
It's only 99 cents. And I know that when Mr. Havel died, you actually offered it for a day or two absolutely free.
Yes.
Yeah, as a tribute to him.
Yeah, he's one of my heroes. It was just amazing. I was very sad. He was young to die, but he'd been very abused by the communist government, thrown in prison, and I mean he'd been treated terribly. So it doesn't surprise me that he died at a fairly young age.
Yeah, well, I think you performed a great service, and having this essay with first person accounts of what it was like to live through that revolution is very valuable. I think it's a wonderful thing you did.
Thank you.
So you had many things up on Scribd for a long time, and you still do. And how did you find out about Scribd and get involved with it? You just wanted a place to have your work get out there, right?
Well, I read an article in the New York Times that talked about Scribd, and that writers could post their work there and could sell it. And I thought, oh, I want to sell to readers, you know, I want to sell. So the very first thing I posted was this particular essay, The Living the Velvet Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
That was the very first thing. I now have about 40 different readings up on Scribd. I've met many wonderful friends through Scribd, other writers who are novelists and have written to me or followed me. And my name on Scribd is Luddite because I'm so technologically awkward. I don't know how to do any of the high-tech stuff. So I took the name Luddite. So all of my works on Scribd are listed under scribd.com/Luddite. And you can just read for free. All my stuff up there is for free.
That's great. That's great. Well, I bet a lot of people are listening to us who want to get their work out where people can see it, but aren't ready to publish a full-length book yet. That's a good tip for them.
Well, Scribd is a great place because a lot of writers use it to test out their books. They put up their books one chapter at a time, and then they get feedback. You get feedback from hundreds of writers and different people who will then help you polish it before you put it together to go to a paper publisher.
So it's like being in a writer's group.
It's a big writer's group, yeah.
It's great.
Big writer's group. Lots of support there.
Oh, wonderful. Well, now, Sunny, you said that you have mostly done nonfiction writing. You've written for newspapers, but then when you decided to write your book, Shades of Love, and again, I forgot
Stories from the Heart.
I always leave that part off. Sorry about that. Shades of Love, Stories from the Heart. Yes. When you decided to write this book that has a lot of fiction in it, although is the story about the first date? Is that
That's the only nonfiction.
That's the only nonfiction. Yeah. She's got a really cute story in there about the. It's called The Worst First,
it's
I think.
It's called Worst First.
And it's about a blind date that Sunny actually experienced.
It's not a blind date. It's a first date.
It's
and
a first
if
date.
Anybody out there has ever had a bad first date, they ought to read my story because they'll feel much better about their first date once they read mine.
Yeah, it really is. It's really cute. Well, anyway, was it hard to make the transition from writing nonfiction to doing fiction short stories?
No.
For the book? No.
It was not hard, no. No, it's not hard at all. It's a whole different thing.
More fun? Is it more fun?
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
It's freer.
Yes, you have the freedom.
It's very free. I mean, you get to imagine your characters and imagine the world they live in and imagine their situation. And when you're doing nonfiction, at least when I'm doing nonfiction, I want things to be very accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And you're tied to facts. And,
it's
far more structured.
That's right, yeah. You do have to make sure that things are correct and double-check and triple-check a lot of things.
Yeah.
Now, what are some of the publications you've written for?
The magazines?
Yeah, the magazines and newspapers.
Okay, well, I started out as a very young person, and the first things I was published in were religious publications like Sunday Digest and Catholic Digest and Straight and Insight. And just a lot in local newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved on to national magazines, and I wrote for Good Housekeeping and Ms. Magazine. I had many, many things in Ms. Magazine when the first in the 70s and early 80s. And McCall's and the Chronicle of Higher Education and lots and lots and lots of newspapers and regional publications, regional magazines, and alumni magazines, and all of that, you know. So, it was a lot of good practice, I guess you could say, and also good experience. And the articles and stories, some were, you would use fictional techniques to do nonfiction stories, true stories, but you would. You know, you would draw scenes and characters and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all great. And I got paid for it.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
That's
getting
nice.
Those checks. In fact, I have one small booklet that I did many years ago, like 40 years ago. It was published like 40 years ago and has continued to be published. It's a small religious booklet.
Hmm.
And I continue to get royalty checks.
Wow. What's it called?
Oh, I won't.
You won't tell?
No. It's way when I was a very young girl. But yeah, I continue to get royalty checks all the way up until, in fact, I will be getting one again next month.
My goodness.
Happy Valentine to me, I guess.
Yes, I guess so, Sunny. Well, we'll be right back to hear more from Sunny about her writing career, and I'm going to ask her about the column that she writes for a newspaper in Calaveras County. We're back with Sunny Lockwood here on Manzanita Voices. Before I get back to Sunny, I want to remind you that my email address for you to send in your written submissions for Morning Workout is linda@manzamedia.com. And please go to my website and check out the archive shows and my blog at www.manzamedia.com. Okay, back to Sunny. Sunny, you say you've been writing all your life. When you were a kid, you must have been a little child in school, and one day it hit you, I like to write. Is that what happened, or how did it come about?
No, not quite exactly.
Not quite that way.
But I've always liked to read. Mm-hmm. I think people who like to read usually like to write, too.
Yes.
They often write letters to the editor or op-ed pieces or something. And you know, so when you're in school, when you're a kid in school, you have to do a lot of writing. And I did a lot of writing, and I got a lot of good feedback from my teachers. And so I just started to write, you know. I just started to write probably when I was about 14 or 15, write for publication.
Uh-huh. You know, send like for them the off. School paper? Or
No, I tried little religious publications, little magazines that mm-hmm. I saw that were in the library or that I took home from church or whatever. Just sent in my little stories, my little poems, and pretty soon I started getting checks. And I lived, you know, girls don't have, in those days, girls didn't have many chances to make money. I mean, you could babysit, but you earned almost nothing. So this was good money to write poems and stories and get checks in the mail, nice checks. And so,
well, you know, I think you had a lot of imagination and a lot of gumption, because I enjoyed writing, too, as a kid. I remember I wrote a short story one time for my little brother, but it never occurred to me that I could send something I wrote out somewhere and they would like it and print it.
Well, I'll tell you, now that you mentioned that, I remember a moment when I discovered that people got paid to write. I was 14 or 15. I was in the city library at Kalamazoo, Michigan, the Kalamazoo Library.
Is that where you grew up?
I grew up in Kalamazoo. And I was just wandering through the stacks, looking at this book and that book, and I saw a little book that said how to write and sell fact and fiction. And I thought, what? You mean people get paid?
They get paid
to write? I'm going to take this book home. And I did, and I read, and I took notes, how to do this, how to do that, and I just started writing. I thought, if you get paid to write, I can do this.
Oh, my goodness. That's great.
Yeah, so I started
writing. So that was your eureka day.
That was my moment, yes, now that you mention it, yes.
Well, now, you write a wonderful column for a newspaper in Calaveras County, which is?
A local newspaper. It's the Union Democrat. It's published in Sonora, but I write for the Calaveras edition of the Union Democrat, and my column is called Calaveras Treasures, mm-hmm. and I write about interesting people, places and things in our county, things that are people who are special or doing special things, something of interest. And my column comes out on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually page one, and then it jumps inside. And it's a great way to stay in touch with very interesting people and to learn a lot about buildings and schools. And this afternoon, I'm going to be doing something on the library, the Calaveras Library. So.
Oh, with Maury.
With Maury Hoekstra, that's right.
Yes.
That's
right. Well, we'll look for that article. I know it'll be good because your articles are always really interesting.
No, thank you.
And you do a great job of interviewing. I was talking to Dave Self the other day. Dave just launched his book, Copper Dawn, and you did a very nice article about him. And he was just raving about you. He said, that's Sunny Lockwood. She just asks the best questions. And before I knew it, I had told her my whole life story. And he just couldn't say enough good about the way you interview.
Well, you know, the thing I've learned as I've grown up and grown older is that most of us do not listen to other people.
That's true.
And everybody wants to be heard. Everyone wants to be listened to. And so when I interview people, I do my best to listen very carefully to them, and it feels so good that they do tell me their whole life story, and it makes for wonderful, you know, I have wonderful material then to work with to mm-hmm. write a good column. But it is surprising how powerful listening and really hearing someone is. and how that can transform the experience for the person being heard.
Oh, yes, because it is so rare. Can you tell me who is one of the most interesting people that you have interviewed for the Mountain Democrat?
For the Union Democrat. You know, the Union Democrat newspaper is, I think, one of the oldest in our Foothill area. It has been publishing daily since 1852, I think. And when I say daily, I mean weekdays, Monday through Friday, the Union Democrat. So I think each person that I interview is the most interesting.
Well, yeah, you do have a lot of... It would be hard to choose, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Union Democrat, you know, you mentioned that you write for the Calaveras County Edition, and maybe not everybody knows that where the paper is printed in Sonora, they're in Tuolumne County.
Yeah, that's the... Across the river.
Across the river.
In Tuolumne County.
That's right. But all Gold Rush country. And I love this whole area because of the history of the Gold Rush, and all the people who walked the land that we walk, and I always wish that the rocks could talk and the trees, and
it's fascinating place.
Yeah. Well, how about was there an interview that was your most frustrating?
Not that I can think of.
Maybe someone who was hard to draw out, someone who you'd ask a question and they'd give one-word answers.
No, I can't think of anything like that. Nope.
Well, you know, I guess I'm not surprised at that answer because when I was at that Boys Night Out concert a couple of weeks ago, I was amazed. People... group of singers brought people up on the stage at various times, and they were all truly people who did not know they were going to be called up on the stage, and yet everybody who came up seemed to be someone who was totally poised, not the least, they didn't have any stage fright, and they all had something to say, and I think that's the truth about the people who live in the foothills. In this area, they all have very strong ideas of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
They all have something interesting to say, and you're lucky because you get to go and interview them for articles.
Yeah, yeah. I have a lot of fun with my column every week.
Yeah. Well,
perhaps I should tell your listeners about my website.
Oh, please do.
Yeah. I have a website, and it's sunnylockwood.com, sunnylockwood, all one word, .com. And on that website, you can read more of my work. You can read my blog. You can go to my blog. My blog is called Onward, O-N-W-O-R-D.
Uh-huh.
Anyone who likes words will like that one.
Yes.
And there are connections from my blog and my website to my book on Amazon, Shades of Love, Stories from the Heart. Also to my essay called Living the Velvet Revolution. And in fact, I also have some other writing that's for sale. I have a series of travel articles called Not So Fast. And one of them is Not So Fast, Meandering Through Angel's Camp. And people all over the world have bought that and learned about Angel's Camp and all the good Gold Rush history we have here. And there are many other Not So Fast essays, Capitola, Soda Springs, Idaho, I have several up there, and they're all 99 cents, and you can go to my blog and click on the picture and go right to Amazon and buy it.
Fabulous. Well, we will be back in just a moment with more from Sunny Lockwood, so please stay tuned. Welcome back to Manzanita Voices. We're talking with Sunny Lockwood today about her book, Shades of Love, Stories from the Heart. And because this is just before Valentine's Day, we've got about, 9 days to go, I think, and this would be a perfect Valentine's gift for someone, I've asked Sunny to read one of the stories from her book. So this story is called Worst First. It is the one story in the book that is sort of autobiographical. And it took place in 1998. She wanted me to mention that it took place before everybody had a cell phone. So, Sunny, is there anything else more you want to say about the story before you read it?
Nope. I'll just start it.
Okay, there you go.
Worst first. Miserable first dates are not the exclusive province of the young. My worst first took place when I was well into competent, confident middle age, and it took place in the most beautiful, romantic city in America, San Francisco. Chemistry had sizzled between Tony and me from our first meeting. He was vice president of development for a college a few miles south of San Francisco. He had hired me on contract to design and implement a marketing program highlighting the college's new building projects. With a trim, medium build, black hair, snapping brown eyes, and an easy smile, Tony looked more like a TV star than an academic officer. He knew what kind of promotion and media coverage the college needed, and I knew how to write copy that would draw reporters to campus. We were an excellent team, and our mutual attraction added a flirty, fun element to our work. But we kept things strictly professional. We were, after all, mature adults, both in our 40s. We had enough brains to avoid the embarrassing pitfalls of the young and impetuous. But as soon as my contract ended, Tony called and asked me to dinner. This first date would not be casual. The restaurant he chose was among the priciest at San Francisco's Union Square. I had my nails done, my hair styled, and chose a robin's egg blue silk dress that moved sensuously as I walked or draped femininely when I was not moving. I chose a tiny, soft leather evening purse with a long, thin strap, and although I rarely wear perfume, I dabbed Tresor behind my ears and in the small of my neck. Since I lived in Berkeley and he lived on the other side of the bay near Palo Alto, we decided to meet at the restaurant. It would be about a 40-minute drive one way for each of us. As I drove my new little sports car across the Oakland Bay Bridge, heading for what I knew was going to be the perfect evening, I felt elated. After all these months, we were finally going to have a night to remember. I parked on the third level of a nearby garage and slipped the parking tag into my purse. As I walked toward the restaurant in the late sun of an early June evening, I could see him, dressed impeccably, standing outside the restaurant watching me approach. He looked as elegant in his chocolate Italian suit and brown and gold striped tie as I felt, and his smile lit up my heart. "They say there's a 45-minute wait for a table," he said. "Oh, it's such a beautiful evening. Why don't we walk a while?" I suggested. "Perfect," he said. He took my elbow, and we fell into a comfortable, fluid rhythm, walking in gentle harmony. The warm evening lulled us. We turned into Chinatown, wandering easily along the storefronts. Young families pushing baby carriages filled the sidewalk around us, and I felt like we were the best-dressed couple in a movie set from the 50s, surrounded by love and happiness. If someone had begun singing Louis Armstrong's What a Beautiful World or Julius LaRose's This Is Heaven, I would not have been surprised. But instead of a song, we were shocked by the sudden sound of stampeding feet behind us and thrown off balance by a full-force body slam into both of our backs. We stumbled, nearly falling, and grabbed each other and maintained our feet. The entire scene froze, all mouths open, all eyes on two young men, one with my purse, racing down the street and around the corner. All I remember is the cut strap of my purse trailing delicate and graceful like a long blue ribbon waving goodbye as they ran. Tony said I was the only person to utter a sound during the event. I said, "There goes my purse." After the initial shock, the cast of extras with their baby carriages moved on. Rattled, we searched for a payphone to call the police. Evening fog rolled in, making me shiver. Tony gave me his suit coat. An empty pizza place let us use the phone. Then we sat and waited for the police. We didn't speak. What was there to say? My brain, which usually hummed with ideas, opinions, and questions, was silent. I felt helpless and empty, so hollow that the slightest breeze could have carried me away like a feather. We stared out the windows as fog ran in rivulets down the glass. When the two policemen arrived, they interviewed us at length, and they walked down the street where we'd seen the guys run, looking into dumpsters and underparked cars, poking through the gathering darkness with their flashlights to see if they could retrieve my purse, all to no avail. They gave us both a little card that said we had been mugged at such and such a time in such and such a place, and they wrote a case number on the card so that we could call and see if they ever found my purse. I slipped the card into my shoe. By now it was dark. Tony and I both realized I had no way to get my car out of the garage. "Well, I have another set of keys at home," I said. We walked to Tony's car and headed for Berkeley. At least we were warm in the car. When we finally arrived at my house, I ran up the steps and then stood there in front of the front door and realized I had no keys to get into the place. The night was black and cold, and we didn't have a flashlight. "I always lock everything," I said, my heart sinking. "Even the bathroom window?" he asked. We stumbled around to the back, and Tony, in his elegant suit, climbed up on the garbage can, which I held to keep it steady, and pushed the little bathroom window open. Then he pulled himself up and wiggled through, landing with a thud on the other side. I prayed that I had closed the top of the toilet seat. He turned on some lights and opened the front door. I hurried in, grabbed my spare set of keys and a sweater jacket. Then it was back to his car. By now, it was well after 9 p.m. "I gotta get something to eat," he said. I was starving, too. We found a hot dog stand next to the UC Berkeley campus. It was open to the street. There were no tables. The cold air blew through, wet enough to leave droplets on my sweater. But the hot dogs smelled great, sizzling on the grill, their steam rising in clouds. Kids in white smocks and chef hats dished them up on toasted buns. Tony scarfed down two and I ate one as we stood there, dust and scrap paper swirling around our feet in the brisk night wind. Then back to the car and back to San Francisco. He had to turn on the windshield wipers, the fog was so thick, and as we crossed the Oakland Bay Bridge, he began to shake. "Sonny, it's just hitting me now how close we came to violence," he said. "We could have been shot. We could have been stabbed. I mean, it's just hitting me now." He was shaking so hard that I asked if he wanted me to drive, but he declined. We rode in solemn silence, Tony shaking, all the way back to the garage. He drove me to my car, but I had no parking tag. I had no driver's license. How could I get out of the garage? Down at the gate, I tried to explain what had happened to the parking booth guy. He told us to park our cars and go into a small lighted office. We did. Eventually, the parking garage manager arrived. We showed him our "we just got mugged" cards. He phoned the police and determined that I was most likely the owner of my car, and he let us go. Of course, I had no money to pay for parking. Tony paid. Out on the street, we both pulled to the curb and climbed out of our cars. Neither of us was smiling. We shared a long, trembling hug. It held no romantic promise. Then we headed home. He down the peninsula to Palo Alto, me, for the fourth time that night, across the Bay Bridge and back to Berkeley. The crooks had already spent nearly $900 on my credit card account by the time I phoned to report the theft. It would be half a year before I had everything back to normal. Although Tony called a few days later to see how I was, and even though he gently suggested a rain check dinner date, it never materialized. Who had the heart for a second date?
Oh, my. I'm so sorry that you guys never had a second date. I think it would have been beautiful, and you would have made it to that elegant restaurant on Union Square instead of having a hot dog from a hot dog stand. Anyway, that's a sample of the stories that are in Shades of Love, Stories from the Heart. And Sunny's going to tell you one more time how you can get the book for Valentine's Day.
Yes, it's for sale on Amazon.com. It's in the Kindle store. Just go to Amazon.com, click on the Kindle store, type in the title, Shades of Love, Stories from the Heart, and it can be yours for 99 cents.
How can you miss that deal? Okay, well, thank you very much for being here with us today, Sunny Lockwood.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure. And I hope that you folks out there will tune in again next week for a new Manzanita Voices. Until then, have a great week. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Manzanita Voices, a production of the Manzanita Writers Press, an affiliate of the Calaveras County Arts Council.